the Business Bunker? Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on Tuesday, July the 10th. Oh, blimey. And Jules is already smashing us up about. I'm joined by the lovely Jules Serkin. Hello, Jules. How are you?
Good afternoon, Mr. Bunker.
How are you?
Am I on?
Yeah, we're on. You should be on. Can you hear yourself?
Yeah, sort of.
Cool. Okay, good.
Better than usual, anyway.
Right.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. We've had our normal 20 minutes of panic around here with loads of technical issues.
But it's so long since I've seen you in the studio. I wanted to ask you how your mindfulness course went.
It was really good, actually.
You did the 6 weeks, didn't you?
4 weeks, yeah.
4 weeks.
Yeah, no, it was really good. Really enjoyed it. Very useful. And funnily enough, we were talking to some people about doing some other stuff on it. Angela Bruce Stevenson's getting some stuff together on that. So, no, I highly recommend it. It was really good. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Hey, last week went down a storm, didn't it?
Gosh, it was amazing, wasn't it?
What feedback we got on that.
Great
Everybody
feedback.
Seemed to really enjoy the show last week. Our first outside broadcast, if you didn't listen, and it actually kind of worked almost.
And it was buzzing.
Brilliant. Yeah, it was.
Knee
really
high. We were knee deep in people.
Yeah, no,
at the
really
stand.
Good. No, absolutely brilliant.
And you and Audra had a good time here?
Yeah, yeah, no. The whole show, we got so much feedback. We had so many emails and calls and tweets and stuff saying how people enjoyed it. Of course, it's all downhill this week, as it would be.
We're resting on our laurels this
week,
aren't
we? I've got a traffic announcement to make as well.
Oh, yeah, do that now, because that's one of our guests is held up, isn't it?
Yeah, because our studio guest is actually in this, I'm afraid, so we're not even sure he's going to make it this week. But on the M20, it's blocked eastbound, that's towards Folkestone, at Junction 9, where there has been a serious accident. So that's the M20 eastbound towards Folkestone. At Junction 9, the motorway is blocked and closed until further notice due to a serious accident.
Yeah, don't even bother trying to go there.
Avoid that, and unfortunately our studio guest is stuck in that at the moment.
David Barton.
David Barton, motorist lawyer. How ironic is that?
He cannot speed to make up time, can he?
Absolutely. So we're hoping he makes it here at some point during the show.
He's coming via the country lanes, but hope you're okay and drive safely, David.
Yeah, of course he's got to get off the motorway first, which isn't the easiest thing in the world to do. Anyway, that is that. Please tweet us by following me at VanillaWeb and drop us a tweet if you'd like a shout out for your business, organisation or event. We'd love to hear from you. Or you can call us on our new studio number, which is 01303 874998.
Correct.
Oh, thank you. That's 01303 874998. So do give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. If you're too shy to speak to me and Jules on the phone, then you can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But we'd love to hear from you. Give us a tweet, give us a call, or give us an email. And talk to us. Do you know what?
We don't bite.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but...
But we don't bite.
No, true.
We're quite sweet.
I'll tell you what, do an email for us. No, I'll tell you what, I've got a tweet. And
Make up your mind.
No, I know, I'm all dithering.
Are you tweeting or...?
No, I'm going to tweet.
Give me a tweet.
Because it was an old tweet. It was earlier this morning I got it, and I'll lose it on the screen if I don't do it now. It's from Southeast Tennis. Can we get a shout out on the Business Bunker, please? Because people are going tennis crazy. I wonder why that might be. Come on, Andy.
Andy Murray.
Yeah, yeah. People are going tennis crazy. I think our guests have arrived as well, by the looks of it, which is cool. Anyway, people are going tennis crazy, and they're doing summer courses. And you can book your tennis course online by going to se-tennis.co.uk/holiday-camps. I'll do that again. That's se-tennis.co.uk/holiday-camps. So if you want to book your summer tennis lessons, go there.
You know what's happening? When you're talking, it's waxing and waning in my ear.
Plus you've got a loose connection on your
headphones. I know. I always knew I had a loose connection.
Well, waggle them.
Somewhere.
Not the headphones, the connection.
Down here?
Yeah, that's it.
I've been down there.
Don't do
anything.
Okay. Well, you... Whatever.
I can read your lips.
Yeah, okay, cool. Good, so that's that. Give us an email.
I will. Okay, so here we have, this is from the lovely Hilda Marie of Catering for Kent. Shall I do it in her accent or not?
No, don't. Please don't.
No, because I'm still in the bush.
See, you had to do that, didn't you? You just had to do that.
Yes. Okay, roll up, roll up for culinary expert and founder of Catering for Kent, Hilda Marie Smith's cryptic evening of sumptuous cuisine. This sounds good.
Funny.
Prepare to be wined and dined as you are whisked away to a top secret location in Ashford in a luxurious coach to enjoy a 5-course black tie dining experience. You'll be treated to deliciously lavish canapes or canapes and champagne en route to where the destination will finally be disclosed before being greeted on arrival by world-class waiters ready to ply you with more aperitif and divinely appetizing amuse-bouche. The night promises to be a culinary explosion, packed full of gastronomic delights and surprises, says organiser Hilda Marie. And as we know, she's previously worked for dining and hospitality specialist, The Rue Fine Dining, before setting up her own fabulous catering service, Catering for Kent. Now, the pop-up gourmet menu boasts extravagant dishes of, here we go, lobster and langoustine consommé, followed by duck and roasted pepper terrine with a main of beef Wellington and a trio of desserts for pudding and a 5-cheese cheese board with fruit and crackers to finish. And there'll be fabulous specially selected wines to complement each course. Can you not screw up paper when I'm on air, please? To make your reservation, go on to Catering for Kent, and that's catering with the number 4, kent.co.uk. It's on the 15th of September, and I know for a fact that it's already started booking. So it's £75 a person with limited places. So call 01-223-463-298. That's 01-233-463-298. Or hop onto her website, cateringforkent.co.uk. It'll all be picked up and dropped off back at the Ashford International Train Centre. So nice and near you, Mr. Bunker.
Yeah, absolutely.
No brainer. And it's £75 a head. And she is also giving some to charity.
So blimey. I might come to that.
I might go to that. I'm hoping to go as her PR, though, and take pictures.
Really?
And then maybe just eat.
Yeah.
For free.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know me, I'm doing up my house. I'm penny pinching at the moment.
I wonder what that had to do with it.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite work out the link there, Jules.
What?
Well,
what link?
I thought between Jules eating and doing up her house, but then I suddenly dawned on me
penny pinching.
There is a link. You are one of the few people in the world that can make a link to absolutely any issue on the planet.
Yeah.
And you can link it to food.
Well, of course.
There is no doubt about that whatsoever.
It's necessary, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely.
To
yeah.
keep alive.
Anyway, I'm really pleased to welcome our guest. He's going to be joining us later live, but he's actually arrived after an epic journey. So, David, welcome to the studio. Do enjoy your coffee before you go live.
And he looks very calm.
He does, doesn't
and
he?
And, of course, he couldn't speed to make up for time.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. No, he wouldn't do that, would he?
No.
Cool. We'll sort him out some headphones as soon as he's ready.
He's wearing a very fetching pink shirt, Bunker Listener. Lovely red socks with a little yellow stripe. Fab shoes. Very nice. Man you, about town.
You said that out loud, Jules. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Bunker Listener.
Okay. Cool. Okay, good. I've had another tweet from Cheryl Randira.
Cheryl. I remember Cheryl.
Yeah. Hi, do you know of a business show like The Bunker in Hampshire? No.
No.
There is nothing like The Bunker Show anywhere in the
world.
If you mean a talk business show... No, actually, funnily enough, as far as we can ascertain, the Business Bunker is the only business talk radio show for SMEs in the United Kingdom. We haven't come across one anywhere else. And Cheryl wants to get some promotion for a charity in Aldershot. So by all means, Cheryl, you can give us the details and we'll gradually shout it out. Obviously, people won't hear it that much, but, you know, we'll give it a go.
We can shout louder.
Yeah.
It might get through.
Cool. Okay. So that's that. What else you got there, Jules?
Right. Stu, do you mind turning my mobile phone off? Sorry, I was trying to tweet them when you were chatting, but now you've...
you see, multitasking
again.
I know.
I just thought I would take the opportunity. Okay. Are the Games bringing gold to Kent? That's the question that Business Networking Group 4 Network is asking. And they want to know about your Olympic experience. So if you're an MD in Kent... How is it affecting you, or indeed in Essex, because we do have Essex listeners, or LA, or Hampshire? Have the games given your new business opportunities that you might not have had before? Are your staff taking time off to volunteer for the games? Will you have a TV at work so you can keep up with the games action? So Four Networking is carrying out a survey. It's open to everyone who works or owns for a business in Kent to see if the games are delivering gold to the county. So to take part, it's Four Networking Kent, www.itsservicesKent. So it's ITS services. So it's itservicesKent.co.uk/surveys, and do that by the Sunday, the 15th of July, they say.
Brilliant.
So thank you, Siobhan Sterling.
Cool. It's going mad now on Twitter. We've got a million tweets, at least. I counted them. It's at least a million.
Is that
just,
all?
Yeah, I'm just going to run through a few. Hey, what about this? Alan Noak, the world's most expensive link.
With that penguin?
No, the world's most expensive link.
Oh, wait, and who this. Might it be?
Wait for this, wait for this. Kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
You're joking!
The Business Bunker is up to a far more respectable 67th place.
Really?
Yeah, that's because I donated 10 quid the other day. We're 67th, folks. What about that?
Really? Number one.
Yeah, no, we're getting there.
Yeah.
At least I did something.
67.
Alan's been moaning at me for years that I haven't done anything, and I eventually got round to doing something. So we're 67. Thanks for that, Alan.
So you bunged him a tenner, basically.
Something like that, yeah. Bribery. Yeah, cool. Also, can we have a shout-out, please, for ELECSEC Limited? That's ELEC hyphen SEC. ELEC hyphen SEC Limited in Westwood Industrial Estate, Margate. And we're here for all your electrical and security installations. So, way to go, ELECSEC, over there in Westgate in Margate. Westwood Industrial Estate in Margate. Cool, so that's a shout-out for them. And also, Angela, Briar Stevenson. Hi, brilliant bunker presenters. I can't say that.
BB.
Yeah. Hi, you brilliant business bunker presenters. Hope the show goes well. And a reminder for Jules. BB mouse mat for your office.
Oh, yes. My new admin assistant.
Yeah.
Because you poached my old one.
Yeah.
She needs a bunker mouse mat. She's got a little mouse for the Mac and no mouse mat.
No Ginger.
I was horrified.
She needs a Ginger.
Yeah,
is what
so you're saying. Angela came round and said, I've got one.
And how do you get a Ginger, Jules?
I'll have to phone in. It's a bit difficult.
She has to phone in, doesn't she? Get your intern to phone in.
I will.
Because anybody that phones us on 01303
874
998, anyone that phones us on that wins a Ginger. They win a Ginger mouse mat. So there you go. Yeah, so
I might phone up next week because you know where I'll be next week.
Where are you going to be next
week? Oh, don't
you're on
say
holiday.
Gone. I'll be having a little margarita on Moriah Beach, Cumbrae.
Yeah.
Probably with snorkel in one hand, flipper in the other, and margarita and a paella.
Yeah. And a young Spanish boy somewhere hovering in
not just the one, darling.
No, absolutely.
A little deck chair attendant.
Yeah.
And I'll phone up there and get my
I was going to say, you will be ringing in from Spain, won't you?
Yeah, I can plug cvilla.eu, can't I?
Because this is the person that actually rang in from Austria or somewhere just to tell me she was eating a chili cherry strudel.
Yeah, that was Budapest.
Oh, Budapest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You must get those places mixed up, don't you?
Yeah, well, it's in Europe somewhere.
Somewhere with Lederhosen.
Yeah. Cool. Do you know what?
What?
You know, I think it's fairly much time.
Tunage.
That we played a bit of tunage.
What are you going to play for us, Mr. Bunker?
Well, if I can, I'm having
trouble. Oh dear! When he says, if I can,
there's always
a problem.
No. I'm going to play a bit of The Commitments.
Yeah.
The Mustang Sally.
Mustang Sally. Yeah.
And once we've played that, we're then going to talk to our first studio guest, Katie Jackson. Telephone guest.
Telephone. She's coming by osmosis down the line.
She will be, hopefully.
Would you like to announce her company? Katie Jackson of Jackson...
No, it's not.
What is it then? Katie Jackson of... housesettingsos.co.uk.
Yes, it is.
I saw another website that she had as well.
No, you're thinking of someone completely different.
Am I?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway.
So house-sitting...
House-setting.
Setting.
House-setting.
You see, that's your Tenterden accent again, isn't it?
Housesetting.co.uk.
House sitting.
We're going to find out all about that in a minute. But first of all, we're going to do a bit of The Commitments.
Okay, Mustang Sally.
Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow the Mustang down.
The Business Bunker.
Hey, Mustang Sally.
That was
there.
Good, wasn't it?
Was, hey, we were bopping in the studio.
I liked
that.
You in those white cowboy boots, I
yeah,
must say.
Yeah, cool. Anyway, hopefully we have our first guest on the phone. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, Katie. Thank you for joining us on the
You're
Business
welcome.
Bunker. And let me just correct something I got wrong earlier. Jules
yes.
was absolutely right as normal. I did get your website slightly wrong.
Yes.
It's homestagingsos.co.uk.
That's the one, yep.
Yeah, great. Well, Katie, welcome to the Business Bunker. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Katie Jackson and homestaging?
Yeah, sure. Okay, right. Well, homestaging is a company that I launched around about Christmas time. I've been homestaging for some time, for many years, but it just didn't have a label or a name. So I decided on the homestaging SOS because I thought SOS helping everybody.
Right.
And what it is I utilise what my clients already have in their properties to help them sell their properties quicker and hopefully for more money.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So just for those of us that are a bit dumb about these things, home staging is about... is this...
Curb appeal, Mr Bunker.
Yes,
ah,
is,
right,
okay. Does anybody remember... the lovely Anne Maurice, the house doctor.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
From Channel 5 TV.
Mm.
Well, I've actually trained with Anne Maurice and her other consultants and senior consultants. And
oh, right.
I do exactly that. House doctoring, home staging and house doctoring are exactly the same.
Right.
It's just been given a sort of a new title. I mean, home stage has been going on for some time.
Right.
But it hasn't really been brought to the masses in England. So not really.
But it's been really popular in the US, though, hasn't it?
Very, yeah. Usually, if you have a property, real estate agents don't usually sell a property without the aid of a home stager.
Right. So talk us through the kind of things you do. You kind of set it up. Is this, do you stage it for a photo shoot to go in the sales brochure?
Many things. What we do, we go into the property, and as I said, we utilise what the client's already got.
Right.
We take out larger pieces of furniture. We offer different accessory colour solutions, declutter the property. Because most clients, when they look at their homes, they don't see anything wrong in particular because they've got so used to living amongst their, you know, their own bits and bobs.
Little smelly dog basket.
Yeah, that's it. And cat bowls everywhere and the family photos everywhere.
Sardines on the worktop rotting.
Yeah, that's it.
You've been to my house.
Go in and depersonalise, neutralise and accessorise. And that's exactly what we do. And also, we try to make the property look as pleasing and acceptable to, you know, the biggest audience possibly, because most homes are designed for that particular person and not everybody's going to like their design concept.
Because you're buying someone's lifestyle, aren't you, when you're looking around their house?
You design the property that most people, most buyers desire, you know, aspire to live in.
Right, okay.
And so do you do... Katie, what's the most popular for selling, the best colour for a front door?
It all depends, really. There is no particular colour. If that would be more a personal interior design option. I mean, for a home, say, for example, if a client likes green or, say, lavender, you would accessorise, you know, pick out a colour from the wallpaper or, you know, a beautiful painting that they have and pick out one of the colours from that and accessorise through the property very gently and harmoniously with one or two of those colours.
Apparently, red front doors, certainly a while ago when I read the survey, a red front door was the business, and I really dislike that.
We're actually, at the moment, I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook, and some of the groups, we are actually talking about red front doors and the wow factor of a red door. And in fact, I'm going to see a client this evening in Ashford, and we spoke about her front door, and I had red in my mind. So
there you go. You heard it on Bunker first.
Bright red front door.
I'd much rather set fire to my house than have a red front door. Yeah. But there you go.
And do you sort of, so when you say you accessorise, Katie, do you go in with a sort of great big bag of different cushions, or you're still using their own but moving them around?
What we do, we use as much of the client's accessories as possible, look all over the property to see what they've already got, because they may have in their living room, bedroom, or spare bedrooms, all sorts of items that I can use to accessorise, but we hopefully try to get it one colour scheme going through the property.
Right.
And if there aren't enough accessories, I and most home stagers will locate them very reasonably priced, and I pass on all my discounts to my clients.
Right, okay.
Because I can find, say, something, for example, if I have to hire rental furniture for a client, the discounts that I can get, a client would never be able to get those sorts of discounts, and I always pass them on to my clients.
Because the thing is, fashions change, don't they, Katie?
Yeah.
You know, at the moment we're shabby, chic and nautical.
Yeah.
You speak for yourself, sir.
Yeah.
He's making a face at me.
We tend not to go with the fashion in a property. It's just quite simple, quite basic, and not too ultra modern. You know, you've got to dress the property. Also, you've got to address, you've got to design the property according to the type of buyer that will be looking at the property. So, for example, if you are going to a row of bungalows for our elderly generation of people, you wouldn't be putting in retro furniture, and you know, you'd have to dress it according to who's going to be looking at that property.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you have to do your market research first to see who your target market audience actually is.
And what was your background, Katie? Were you an estate agent?
Do you want me to go into that?
Well, were you an estate agent?
No, I wasn't an estate agent. I've done everything from... I've been an estate agent for several months, but that was way, way in the past. I've been a legal secretary in London. I've drove the London buses.
Wow.
Yes. But I've always been into property, and it's always been my passion. And you can make money from property. It's the safest bet, really, I believe. And I've been very successful in renovating property. So I go further than just home staging. I renovate. We're actually going to be doing a new build this year. We're going through the sales process at the moment on our property. And hopefully this year we should be starting a new build.
That's amazing.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
Do you want to give us a shout for your website, as Paul and I miss it up so much?
Yes, it's www.homestagingsos.co.uk. My contact details are 07960656922. You can call me direct, I'll get straight back to you. I'm also on Facebook, LinkedIn and Twitter, and I also have my own YouTube account. And they're all under the name of www.homestagingsos. If you start typing in that into
we'll search find engine, you.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I've made some videos also on homestaging if you want to find out a little bit more about it.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Katie, that's absolutely fascinating subject. It's something that we haven't really got around to in this country to a large extent. So it's really interesting stuff. And thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker.
You're welcome.
It's been a pleasure to hear from you. We'll put the links that you've given us onto
the radio
website so that people can find you if they want to follow up with that, which I'm sure they will. But for the moment, thank you so much for joining us. And,
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Have a great day, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Paul.
All right. Take care, Katie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, Katie Jackson there of homestagingsos.co.uk.
I can just see her now, can't you, with a little pile of cushions and a bay tree under each arm.
Yeah, blimey.
Polishing the dustbins out the front.
I might... It sounded like a good way of getting my house tidied up.
Yeah. Declutter.
Yeah. Mind you, it's probably cheaper to hire a cleaner, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, you'd probably have to get rid of your sheep first, you know roll around.
I told you not to mention that, didn't I?
Yeah, you can't have them marauding around.
I can't trust you, can I?
Sorry, just slipped out.
You know, I think I've got a million... We've got to do loads and loads of things. I've got a million tweets. You wouldn't believe how manic Twitter is.
Tell me some tweets, and then I'm going to announce the winner later on.
Yeah, we've also got, when we were... Oh, blimey, and we've got a phone call. It's all happening here.
I am announcing the winner in a minute.
We'll see who we've got on the phone in a moment. We're going to announce the winner from our card draw from the B2B Kent and Medway Business Show.
Yes.
And I think that's a call for us. Yeah. Hold on a second. I think it's a call for us. Hello,
is anyone there?
hold on a second, let me put you on the station.
Is anyone there?
Hi, we got Nicola.
Ah.
Hello.
I know why Nicola's ringing.
Ah, is this what you were about to say?
Yes.
Nicola, we've just about to announce this. Jules just rang you, so that's really apposite. We had a prize draw of business cards at the Kent and Medway Business Show last week, and Nicola
Burr
of Canterbury Christchurch College, you were ta-da the winner. Right,
very exciting. Canterbury
she doesn't know what she's won,
but we haven't told you what you won yet.
No,
have you?
It's all very.
It's not a ginger. It's not a mouse mat.
Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. If Nicola would like a ginger, then of course she gets a ginger.
Anyway,
and who wouldn't? Let's face it. Who wouldn't like a ginger?
Well,
who
coveted.
Yeah, absolutely. But I tell you what, you actually have one.
But she has got that anyway for ringing up.
Yeah, you get the ginger for ringing in anyway. But what you have won, in fact, is two tickets to the open air Shakespeare performance. As You Like It, at the absolutely gorgeous Belmont House in Faversham.
Oh, lovely. That's fantastic.
And that's on the 20th of July. And what we'll do, Nicola, is we'll email you the details of
Thanks
that.
Thanks very much.
To take that up. So congratulations on
Thank
that.
Thank you.
And while you're on,
yes.
you can have a bit of a plug for your organisation, which is an institution I know very well, because I actually did some lecturing there a little while ago, which was brilliant.
Yeah, I know, you did actually.
Yeah,
yes.
I had a fantastic day there, and I met some brilliant, brilliant students from your university that are very entrepreneurial and enterprise orientated.
Good.
So give us a quick shout for what you do
at the
university.
Well, that's exactly what I do. I work in our Research and Enterprise Development Centre at Canterbury Christchurch University, and I'm one of the Business Development Management team, and I work on helping students develop enterprise and entrepreneurship skills.
Brilliant.
So that might be to develop skills that they can take forward to their future employment, or it might be about starting their own businesses.
Cool.
And I also support students and academics who have ideas that they want to develop and take beyond the university and commercialise.
Fantastic.
So we're always looking for people with interesting stories to tell, people who run their own businesses that have got something to share back to universities, and people who can help students develop enterprise skills in interesting and innovative ways, really. So if any of your listeners would like to get in touch, it'd be lovely to hear from people, just to get different faces in front of the students. They respond. Students respond really well to people who have actually been there and done it and are in the thick of it. So.
Absolutely. And I can wholeheartedly recommend that. Yes. I've done a few things at the university there, and I have to tell you, the students are incredibly responsive. There's loads and loads of talented kids, for want of a better word.
Yeah.
There are loads and loads of talented people there, and they're really keen to learn. So any business person that, you know, wants to spend a little bit of time talking to the next generation of entrepreneurs, great place to go.
That'd be great.
No, brilliant. Nicola, congratulations
on
winning that.
Thank you.
We will email you the details of your winning, and whether you want it or not, you're getting a ginger as well.
Oh, can't wait. Thank you very much.
And thank you.
Surprise.
Thank you so much for calling the show.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Cheers now.
Bye.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye. That's Nicola Burr from she's the Business Development Manager for Enterprise at Canterbury Christchurch Uni.
Brilliant. And she won the draw from the Kent and Medway Business Show.
Yeah.
What we did is we collected business cards while we were at the show, because we were inundated.
We were knee deep.
Yeah, it was one of the hardest days' work I've done.
Hello. You swanned off, rolled around in here with Audra, chatting and laughing, and then rolled back and allowed me to go to the loo and get a coffee.
Yeah, I made Richard Farley famous as well, don't forget that.
Yes, you facilitated very well, I've heard.
Yeah, no, it's good fun, actually.
Sadly, I wasn't able to get off the stand to look round.
Well, you can see a bit of it. If you go to Kent Business TV, there's actually... There's a montage of some clips from the show.
Now, Bunker, so do I want to see a montage of Paul Andrews?
Yeah, and
really?
some of it is me and Richard Farley from Dragon's Den doing a bit of stuff. And
they came to film you, actually. There were a couple of crews that came to film you.
I know.
But of course, you weren't actually there.
Yeah, no, my agent hadn't sorted it out properly.
We hadn't discussed contracts at all.
I was busy.
But when you did roll up eventually, and you did let me go off, I had a quick scoot round.
Yeah.
And do you know, I was able to eat something on almost every stand.
Yeah, what a surprise, Jules.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
There was fruit as well, and little chocolate things dipped in...
Cannibalism's never attractive, though. Hey, look, we've got a zillion tweets, and I need to start reading.
I just cruised on every stand there, you know. are these for eating? Oh, yeah, do have one. Oh, okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
Pretending to look really interested in what they were doing.
HR Go, who had the stand next to us, listener, started off the morning with 150 cupcakes. I think they had to send out for reinforcements after about an hour.
Yeah.
Because Jules just helped herself.
Well, I was on that stand. Yeah. I was manning it single-handedly.
Yeah.
Sustenance.
Anyway, look, we got loads and loads of tweets.
Who's
here
tweeting?
Principal HR. Can we have a shout out for our employment law courses available for small and medium sized enterprises? There's summer offers and 25% charity discounts. Give us a call on 01732 523 484. That's 01732 523 484. Also, there's a link to Principal HR Solutions on the Kent Business Radio website. So if you want to find out about that, you can find a website or by giving them a call. Also, Auratech.
Hello, Dan.
Dan and all the guys at Auratech, who actually sponsored the Startup Zone at the B2B show last week. They just said, we're listening to the Bunker Show. Can we have a shout out? That's Auratech Limited, Auratek. Auratech, I think they're in Broadstairs.
They are.
And they're an IT support company.
Sunny Broadstairs.
We've had Annie's Larder.
Oh, yeah.
Who waves. Annie's Larder is a new Kent-based business looking for markets events to bring our gluten-free street food to.
Annie, I'm a GF.
Annie, you must yes. have known that Jules was going to yes. go mad with that.
Yeah. So where's she based?
It doesn't say. I've just got a tweet. So what we need to do, I tell you
get
what.
Get her on the show.
Yeah, we'll get you on the show, Annie, but I tell you what. Within minutes of coming off air today, I guarantee Jules will be following you, and then you won't know what's hit you on Twitter. You will be the recipient of a Twitter launch when Jules gets started on you. But for the moment, that's Annie's Larder, and they're looking for the gluten-free markets.
I've written it down in my book.
Yeah. And Billy Dean.
Billy Dean!
Of SOS Computers, who is my star man and genius
and
technology
mine.
Supporter.
And mine now. Yeah.
He said he's tuned in, listening, and he's recording the show on two separate machines. For those of you listeners that may listen on a regular basis, you know we had some problems recording over a
I'm surprised he's only doing
ago.
Two separate
yeah,
machines.
So we've now got boot, braces, shoelaces, safety net, and everything else.
But do you know what happened? No. I sort of went onto the cloud, man. Mm. Went onto the cloud, and my Mac... synced all my contacts. I was trying to can you not raise look at the time when I'm talking to you? So I'm trying to email someone very important and on his email, sort of attached to his email, were all my contacts. So I would have emailed everyone yesterday afternoon. So I had to call Billy down.
That's not good.
It's not good. Especially if you're in PR.
Absolutely.
So Billy sorted it and he's very patient.
Very patient. I have not met anyone as patient as Billy,
when
sorting out technical problems.
Yeah.
He's just so confident that he'll fix it eventually.
How many times did you have to change your battery and your take your battery out of your key? Your
My mouse and keyboard, yeah.
How many times?
Yeah, 1,007, because I counted every single one of
them. And did you stay calm?
Yeah, no. And Billy, in between each one, Billy went, remain calm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Billy, but I'm going to throw this at someone. No, remain calm.
Because I said to him, I need to change my battery on my key thing, board, whatever it's called. Mm. And I'd already struggled doing it in my Magic Mouse. And I said, how do I change it? You know, because it's a funny shape and what kind of screwdriver do you use and all that stuff. And I am married to Mr. Bean of DIY, so that wouldn't be any good. Mm. And Billy said, I had to ask you because you'd done it quite a few times.
Yeah, yeah. I'll let you know. Yeah, yeah. I'm an expert now. I've thought transference. Billy has transferred his genius skills into me.
He'd do anything for a cup of tea and a little hobnob, I find. Who else is tweeting?
Oratech again. Congratulations on your first outside broadcast live last week, the Business to Business show. It was great to see you there. We're really pleased with that. Thanks, Dan. That went really well.
Never have I done so many interviews with cross legs.
I've got 18 more messages.
Is that all?
Yeah, and we'll do a couple, and then we need to crack on with some other stuff.
Okay.
Lisa Settle, Jules ought to have a food show on the radio. What do the listeners think? We will gloss over that, Lisa, because we know what the listeners are going to think about that. what else we got? Could you give a shout-out to our new engineer, Mike? That's Oratech again. Hello, Mike, the new engineer at Oratech.
Hello.
Welcome on board. And also, we've got Telcare Limited. Hi, Business Bunker. Can you give the Telcare office a shout-out? They're on the City Estate in Rochester, I think. We run off our feet today, but listen to the show, of course. So that's a big hello to everybody at Telcare, the telecommunications company over there in Medway.
Yeah.
And Howard Kendall, please could you mention...
Kendall's mint cake.
Howard Kendall, SDI Europe and Customer Service UK TV.
Okay.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Shout for that.
Hi, Howard.
Yep. Tracy Bartlett, enjoyed listening to Kate talk about home staging on Business Bunker Show. Cool. Hello, Kate. Tracy.
You always get those names.
Oh, we're in trouble now.
Oh, no, what?
No, we're in trouble. Lisa Settle.
I'm always in trouble with Lisa.
Yeah, you just mentioned sheep.
Yes.
Yeah, well, she's Chloe and Clarence have gone into meltdown.
Oh.
Chloe and Clarence, the goats,
yes.
My fan club,
yes.
Are not happy about you giving away my sheep secrets.
Oh, of course.
Apparently.
Well, it's rivalry, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, sibling rivalry.
Yeah, so there you go. And a big shout for hi to Paul, Jules and the team at Business Bunker. Having a great show. We're listening now. That's Keith Abbott from CVC Me.
Hello, Keith.
There's hundreds of them. I'll tell you what, And Dr. Wayne Wright at Business Growth 2. Check out the Business Bunker Show. Really good show. Thank you for that, Wayne. That's Dr. Wayne Wright. Give us an email, and you know, I think what we'll do then is we'll talk to our studio guest.
I love the way you actually sound like you know what you're doing. That there's a plan. There's
yeah,
a plan.
Of course, it's a plan. It's called Plan It, Wing It.
Yeah.
And ad lib it.
Yeah, I can tell. Well, I've got one here sent in from Lenleys in Canterbury, where we had our Kent Business Tweet Up. And if you're interested in the Kent Business Tweet Up, it's always the at Lenleys. It's always the last Thursday of the month. And it's at 10 a.m. to 11:30 in Roper Road, Canterbury, and there is free parking. But they have something rather exciting to announce. They are just stocking a carpet which is made up of bottles.
Bottles?
Yes. It's an eco carpet made out of bottles.
That sounds like some kind of student pad.
It is amazing.
Bottles and cans and rubbish.
Well, I've actually run my fingers over this, Mr. Bunker, and it's like a...
Freddy Krueger.
No, it's like a Edward Scissorhands, that was. I think.
Oh, right, okay.
It's like a I was going to say S-H-A-G, I can't. Yeah. It's like a long pile carpet.
So
cream. You can't say that on
can't
it.
Say that on radio. I think you can. I think that's allowed.
You can't say moist or shag pile.
All right.
But it's like a long sort of cream carpet. Looks like the best carpet ever. And it's made out of bottles. So they say when it comes to rolling out the carpet, Lenleys has gone green. The Canterbury Furnishing Store's range of soft flooring now includes a carpet made out of bottles. When we first heard about this, I thought someone was pulling my leg, said Mark Finch, who's the salesman for flooring at Lenleys. But the sample came in from America and it really is amazing, soft and looks superb. Carpet manufacturer Mohawk collects more than 3 billion plastic bottles a year and recycles them into small flakes known as PET chips or PET chips. These in turn are then processed to create a fibre that gets dyed and turned into carpets. And says Mark, knowing that the carpet you're walking on is totally recycled is just a great way of staying literally in touch with the environment. And he says it is certain that this is the future of flooring. And unlike many man-made fibres, which often flatten when, you know, you walk over it in continuous tread, the fibres on the Mohawk clean easily with warm water and keep their pile.
Blimey.
So there you are. You know, if you spill sheep droppings on your carpet.
Goat droppings, please.
Goat droppings, yeah, as you do. Mm. You can just put a little bit of warm water and it'll clean up. The carpets have been selling really well with great customer feedback, said Mark. And they've also got another one called the Smart Strand, which is made from corn oil, would you believe it? And he says they're not just a fad, as Mohawk is established over 125 years and it's a trusted name.
Brilliant.
So that's the Mohawk and the Smart Strand carpets.
Cool. Good stuff. Do you know, I think we'll introduce our studio guest, who has manfully struggled in here through awful traffic, Mr. David Barton, the motorist lawyer. David, welcome to the show. We'll get Jules to sort you out on the microphone. It's lovely to have
hello.
You.
Hello.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Lovely to
hello,
see
Paul.
You. Yeah. Thank you for struggling in.
No, thank you for asking me back again.
Horrendous journey.
Lovely new studio.
Yes. Oh, yes. You haven't been to this one before, have you?
No.
It's a bit large and echoey, isn't it?
But it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a lot nicer than the last one. Mm. A bit more elbow room.
David loved the last one.
No, I made
so
it.
So much so he came
I made
back
it
on.
Down, notwithstanding the queues and stuck, of course, rigidly to the speed limits all the way.
Of course you did. Of course you did. Tell us a little bit about you. I know you've been on the show before, but of course we have loads of new listeners now. So tell us a bit about you and what you do.
I'm a solicitor. I'm based in Maidstone. But I provide a service to drivers throughout the South East, those who get into difficulty with road traffic law, speeding, drink driving, points, disqualification, anything to do with magistrates and Crown Court prosecutions in criminal law. That's what I do.
You know that the last time you came on the show, I had just let's say, caught by a camera on doing 38 miles an hour on the 30-mile limit, just coming out of Tunbridge Wells on that Pembrey Road, which catches everyone. And I did the speed awareness course. I decided to do it. And
you found it useful?
David, I found it absolutely fascinating because I went in there, you know, giving up my Saturday morning and... I was a bit begrudging, but I thought it was really, really well taught. The two chaps that did it were fantastic. And
Now, did you pay? You pay to participate.
I did. Yeah, but it means I won't get the points.
Yes.
Because I'd already got some points, and I'm not actually a dangerous driver. I don't think I don't go particularly fast, but I'm of one of a generation who are not used to the cameras. You know, I'm in my 50s, and we grew up to sort of drive. And I grew up to anticipate. So if I see a bend, or I see a school, or I see a zebra crossing, I slow down and I anticipate that somebody might leap out. But it's different now. You know, you're told at what speed to go.
It is. It's all very rigid, isn't it?
But I found it absolutely fascinating, and I'd say to anyone, do it.
So you've come out wiser.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And
certainly not older.
No. But so much so, I'm going to do the advanced training driving.
Do you have to speed again to go on that?
No, you don't.
Until you're taught how to speed safely.
Yeah. But it was fascinating. And so I highly recommend it to anyone.
I know a few people that have been on them.
Mm.
And they all speak well of them.
Mm. Yeah, they're very well done, I think. The training.
I think after 30 years, you think, oh, there's nothing I'm actually going to learn. But that's just not so.
Have you seen the DVD where the gorilla comes on?
No, I haven't.
There's a DVD they make you watch, and it's about... how you think you're looking for a bike or whatever as you're coming out of a junction, but you don't really see.
Oh, yeah.
And so you're told to count the basketball, how many strikes they get, all the guys in a navy T-shirt. Mm. And you're watching that intently on this DVD. And we all said, oh, I saw 18 basketball strikes. And somebody said 17, somebody said 19. And I'd watched it diligently. And then somebody said, did you see the gorilla? And everybody said, no. And they played it again, and as you're watching the basketball players, this great guy dressed up as a gorilla comes on, stands in front of the basketball players that you're counting, bashes his chest, and then walks off centre stage onto the other side of the screen, and you don't notice him.
Yeah.
So that is, it's just absolutely gobsmacking.
So that's awareness.
Yeah.
It just makes you think that it could be a bike.
Yeah.
Well, that you're looking at one thing.
That was my last excuse when I was pulled over the other day. I went blind, and he said, you were speeding. I avoided the gorilla. Didn't you see it?
I thought you said you were the gorilla.
I swerved. There was a gorilla in the road. You missed it. You were counting basketball players.
It's a fascinating DD.
So, David, I want to ask you some questions here, and I'm not sure if this
is your
field or not. So no. It's just that, you know, David specializes in law in this country.
Mm.
But, talking about driving laws, I mean, recently in France, they've started to introduce stuff where you have to carry breathalyzer kits and stuff like that.
They have. Yeah. Yes. Well, with effect from the beginning of this month, 2nd of July, France implemented a new law that requires all drivers in France, irrespective of the country they come from, to carry a self-breath test kit. And the reason
costing
is,
how much?
I gather they're about £2 a go.
Right.
Mm. You can buy them at channel ports.
Yeah. Street hawkers.
Yes.
But that's to go with your yellow jacket and your triangle.
Well, you have to have a yellow jacket and a triangle in the car.
Right.
So in the boot isn't good enough. And I know of drivers that have come back recently from trips in France who have picked up €90 fixed penalties for not having their jackets or their triangles in the car.
What's the reason for having it in the car, not the boot, then?
If you have to stop because you've suddenly broken down, you can emerge from your car jacketed.
Right.
Okay.
And you don't have to fiddle around trying to find it in the boot.
Right.
And some of the prevailing advice I'm aware of says that if you're stopped by a police officer, you ought to be able to emerge from your car wearing a jacket, and that way you don't fiddle around and you're ready to display the triangle at the same time.
And so I suppose you're also a sitting target. If you're at the back of the car and you're on a motorway, then it's probably a bit more dangerous.
Yeah, and that's why they stick. And the trouble is that many non-French drivers are targets for police officers.
They make a lot of money.
They do, and some of the French police are notoriously zealous in the way they go about performing their duties. But the self-breathalyzer kit is implemented because France, historically, has had a very high death rate on its motorways. Mm. So they have...
Through drink driving?
Yes. Mm. There was a time, sort of 5 years plus ago, when French police were a little relaxed, but not now.
Yeah. Mm.
And the drink drive limit is lower than it is in this country. Mm. Here, the blood level is 80. In France, and indeed many other European countries, the level is 50.
Right. Which relates to what in drinking them?
It's about a glass of wine.
Yeah, okay.
Do you think, because I'm just thinking of the routiers, where all the truckers go. I mean, I've been through France and gone through all the routier restaurants, and they're amazing, aren't they? And you get you go in, and the truckers go in, and they get a litre of wine or a litre of cider with their meal. And that's a tradition.
Mm.
And they've all got these great big tummies, because they just do that. That's their life, and they, you know, they go there. So what's happening there?
Well, the laws are in, and they're being implemented with some severity in order to drive down the death toll.
Mm. Right.
So
do you think there's ever a point where we get to zero drinking if you're driving?
Well, Scotland at the moment is debating very hard whether it should go down from 80 to 50.
Mm.
The indications are that it will.
Right.
Now, I don't know how many, I can't remember how many years we've had 80, but it's certainly more than my working lifetime.
Yeah, quite a long time.
Mm. So whether we get down to zero in again, and that would be a big step. I suspect probably not.
Mm. But sometimes it's, I find at lunchtime, it's the first glass of wine that makes you feel slightly merry.
Yes.
If you haven't eaten much.
Yes, it
Whereas
is.
In the evening, you can sort of have two, three glasses and you've eaten more and, you know, but that first glass sometimes can...
And then you relax in and you have another one.
As a sanctimonious teetotaler, one of the things that frightens me when I see people drinking is how little they realise they will be over the limit the next day.
Yeah.
It is a problem. Mm. People don't understand how long it can take your body to metabolise or get rid of the alcohol that you've taken in.
Mm.
And it often, I've come across many instances over the years of people being caught the next morning, or they might even think a train journey from London to Headcorn or to Maidstone, the hour on the train magically gets rid of the alcohol. It doesn't.
Yeah.
But travellers in France and Europe have got to be really careful. On the breathalyzer kit, there is the police are going to apparently hold back for a period until about the early part of November, by which time they will expect people to have taken on board that this is now a requirement.
And what exactly do you do with it? I mean,
well, you're supposed to carry. You must carry one. Advice says you should have two,
right.
So that if you use one, you've always got a spare.
So is the idea you breathalyze yourself first?
Yes.
Is that the idea?
Yeah, you check and make sure that you're safe. You're under the limit.
Right. Okay.
It's a discipline process. And there are companies in this country that for some years have sold them here,
yeah.
But they've never taken off in quite that way. But yeah. France has just chosen to make it a law.
Because, I mean, just think, I know this probably sounds a bit crass, but it's typical of me. Purely as a marketing thing, you'd think that pubs and stuff would sell kits like that.
Yes.
You know, just say, look, you know, don't drink too much and, you know, check yourself before you go home. And if you're already over the limit, stay the night and drink some more.
Well, there is that, but the neat thing is that the devices that are now mandatory at a couple of pounds each, it's got to be worth it.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Because I seem to have remembered at some point, and you can put me right here, because I thought a few years ago it wasn't possible to breathalyze yourself. I thought that, you know, that the authorities kind of frowned on it. And
they have in this country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because there has been no manufacturer, as far as I'm aware anyway, that has been authorised to produce them.
Right.
Or to produce devices that people can properly rely on.
Right.
Whereas it's different, I think, if nationally one introduces a law to make it compulsory, then there has to be a supplier of devices that people are able to say, well, I used this, and this is what it revealed.
Yeah.
I was safe.
What do you, do you have any experience of drug driving?
Yes, I do, because I think later in the year, possibly into next year, there will be devices available that will enable police to quickly measure what levels of drug somebody has in their body. Mm. At the moment, it's a fairly clumsy process. Mm. They go through a roadside test. They go in, which is, can you stand up straight? There's then a test at the police station itself, which is, again, quite a cumbersome walking in a straight line, touching your nose with your eyes closed. I've seen the forms that are filled out.
Mm, that's quite antiquated, isn't it?
And then the blood sample goes off to be analysed, and then it comes back, so that all those things added together, it can be quite a while before a driver knows whether he's
right.
got a problem or not. But I've got a couple of cases going, winding their way slowly through the courts at the moment.
Right, okay.
Drivers alleged to have been unfit to drive as a result of taking, right. in both cases, it's cannabis. Right,
how hard is it for you, as a solicitor, when you know that drink driving is dangerous, to defend someone, perhaps, who has done?
Well, very often it doesn't involve defending as such. Mm. What you're more often doing is helping them explain to the court why they made a mistake. Mm. And they want an opportunity to put their hands up, offer an apology, to publicly recognise that what they did wasn't right.
Right.
And you try and keep the penalty down, that's all. So defending tends not actually as an issue where someone is pleading not guilty. That tends not to arise very often.
I was going to ask you about that, and, you know, what kind of circumstances, with not just drink driving, but all kinds of traffic offences, what kind of circumstances can there be where a prosecution's been brought unfairly, for want of a better word?
Well, some cases, in a lot of road traffic offences, the issue is one of, you know, did you do it or didn't you? Mm. Were you over 70 on the motorway or were you under 70? Yeah. There are other offences where it's not black and white. Mm. Dangerous driving, it's a judgment call on whether the driving was or was not dangerous. Mm. That's opinion. Mm. Same for driving without due care and attention. Mm. Did the driving fall below the standard to be expected of a careful and competent driver? That's subjective.
Absolutely.
So there are some offences where there is significant room for debate. Mm. Others, it doesn't apply. But with drink driving, you're either under or over the limit. Mm. The issue may be, were you knowingly over the limit? I've dealt with cases where drinks have been laced.
Right. Yeah.
And while someone is technically guilty because they were driving over the limit, they would have an argument then to persuade the court not to disqualify. And that's perfectly proper if the drinks were laced.
Right. Very hard to prove a drink's laced.
It is. I have had two or three cases over the years, not many of them, where afterwards a so-called friend has admitted popping an extra vodka in a drink that wasn't spotted.
Right. Okay.
It does go on now and again.
Right.
Or cases where the blood sample or the urine sample has become contaminated in some way.
Mm.
And those happen. But I would think statistically they're quite rare.
Mm.
Most of the time, if you are driving and if the alcohol level in your blood or breath is above the limit, it's quite difficult to... So the issue of defending someone doesn't tend to arise quite that often.
Right, okay, no, I understand. So
you're more often helping them to explain to the court why they've been silly, why they've made an error of judgment.
Absolutely. We need to set up our next telephone guest fairly shortly.
Of course.
We'll talk to you some more after we've spoken tonight. For the moment, David, thank you very much. But do stay with us, and we'll come back to you after our next guest, and we'll carry on some of that conversation, which is fascinating. Thank you. I think what we'll do now is we'll play a bit of tunage.
And what have you got?
We've got a bit of Monkees.
Ah, hey, hey.
Yeah, specially chosen by our associate
co-producer,
Stuart Andrews, who is soon to be a start-out driver, and that's one of the things I want to talk to David about again in a minute. But let's play a bit of tunage, get our next guest lined up, and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Only true in fairy tales, meant for someone else but not for me. Our love was out to get me, that's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face, now I'm a believer. Got her trace put out in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. I thought love was more or less a given thing. Seems the more I gave, the less I got. What's the use in trying? All you get is pain. When I needed sunshine, I got rain. Oh, then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. Yes, I saw her face. Now I'm a believer.
Hey, I'm a believer, the Monkees.
Are
welcome
you?
Back, yes. Hopefully we got our next guest on the phone, Mr. Seb Cole. Seb Cole.
Oh, really,
yeah. Seb Cole. Sorry, Seb. Seb, are you there? Yeah, hi. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker. Just to let our listeners know, Seb was involved in the Young Business Minds operation earlier this year that was organised by the Marketing Eye, who are a marketing company from Uckfield in Sussex. Seb, tell us a little bit about Young Business Minds.
Well, basically, it's a sort of a group of colleges, and the business group from those colleges have to develop their own business idea.
Right.
And it's a competition about who can come up with the best one.
Okay.
So you have to look at marketing, your finance, you have to do a really thorough job on it.
Brilliant. And you were part of one of those college teams, were you?
Yeah, I was part of the Ringmer business team with two other people.
Cool. And so what was your business idea? Tell us about what you came up with.
We decided more on a sort of a retro street food van, mainly with ice creams and smoothies and milkshakes, but we noticed that no one really did anything different, so we decided to include something called hot ice cream.
Oh, right. Yeah, go on.
It's something, it's very strange to get your head around, but it sets when it gets hot, and then after it cools down, it begins to melt again.
Blimey, I've never heard of this. Where did you find, where did you come across this?
Yeah.
I came across it I first started getting into the whole chemistry food bit at the place where I work in Tunbridge Wells.
Right.
As a chef. And then I spent about a year sort of developing my own sort of finished recipe of it.
Blimey.
So you're a bit of a Heston Blumenthal then?
Hold on, my signal's slightly patchy.
Yeah, sorry. Jules was saying you're a bit of a Heston Blumenthal then?
Yeah, a little bit, except I've got some long, big head of hair.
You won't have, not for long, don't worry. Trust
yeah, no,
me on that.
I look at my dad and I'm shaking.
So,
it skips a generation.
So, this retro hot ice cream idea, how did you get on with that in the competition itself?
Actually, we won it.
Brilliant. I'm not surprised, but that's fantastic.
What flavour was it? Scrambled
egg
and
bacon? Well, we decided we could do any flavour,
right.
Really. So, we looked at our most popular ones,
right.
Which would have been honeycomb and chocolate and ginger flavoured. Along with the normal vanilla and strawberry and that kind of thing as well.
Cool. We need to introduce you to Taywell's Ice Cream. I'm sure they'd be interested in talking to you. They're big friends of the show here, and they're a local ice cream producer. that could be a good link. But
well, you've got my number.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, we'll put you in touch. Don't you worry. We're all for encouraging enterprise and entrepreneurship here. So, what was your feelings about the competition itself? I mean, how did you feel about it in terms of, is it something that you really enjoyed doing? Is it something you recommend other people do?
Yeah, I think I'd definitely recommend it. I mean, I didn't think our group was going to do as well as we did because we only had, a week to work on the whole thing.
Right.
But all the ideas were good. All the other colleges did really good ideas as well.
Right.
And it's definitely something worth getting involved in.
Right. Cool. And have you left college now and you're at work full-time?
No, actually, I've finished my college for this year.
Right.
And then I've got my next year college to do as well.
Okay, so the work that you're doing at the moment is just kind of temporary work while you're finishing off at college?
Yeah, I do work Monday. No, I do college Monday to Friday.
Cool.
And on a Friday after I finish in Ringmer, I hop on the bus up to Tunbridge Wells.
Cool.
And I work on a Saturday as well, sort of full day, kind of 12 hours.
That's brilliant. That's what I like to hear. I like to hear people putting in effort. That's good stuff. Hey, Seb, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker and telling us about your experiences. We really appreciate it.
That's no problem.
Are you going to actually take that anywhere? Are you actually going to go forward and make it into something?
We are currently sort of looking into that kind of possibility.
Well,
and having contacts that you have in sort of, you know, big ice cream manufacturers, obviously going to be quite handy if it...
Yeah, absolutely. We will absolutely put you in touch with Alistair and the people at Taywell Ice Cream, because they will be fascinated by this, I'm sure.
Are you on Twitter?
Well, perfect.
On Twitter?
Yeah, I am.
What's your Twitter handle?
I think it's just Seb Cole.
Right. We'll find you. We'll track you down. Don't worry.
It'll be fine. If it helps, I'm following MC Hammer.
All right, okay.
That's an easy way to get
there.
Yeah,
yeah, they'll narrow it down to a million or something. Cool. Seb, thank you so much. We will find you and we will put you in touch with people because what you've done is brilliant. And thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker and telling us about your experience of Young Business Minds. And I guess a big thank you to the Marketing Eye as well for bringing that whole thing together. I know they've been very keen on doing that, and this year's event has been expanded. So, Seb, thank you for joining us on the Bunker. We wish you much luck with your hot ice cream idea. I'm sure it's going to be an absolute wow.
Well, thanks for having me, I guess.
No pleasure. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, perfect. Cheers.
Cheers. Take care now. Bye-bye.
All right. See you later.
That's Seb Cole there, who's part of the winning team from Ringmer College.
Where's that based?
It's there in East Sussex. And they won the Marketing Eye Young Business Minds Award.
Fantastic.
What a great idea. Retro ice cream. Yeah.
We'll have to get Alistair Taywell.
Some very clever people. Yeah, we'll definitely put the guys in touch with some ice cream makers and see if they can progress that in any way.
Talking of food.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
Here we go.
Paul Babra has just sent us an email saying, relax, gossip and enjoy. Overlooking the Westgate Gardens in Canterbury's Umbrella Centre. They're now serving a variety of their food and drink. That's Paul Babber of the Canterbury Curry Club and Wajiwa. He says, custom-made menus, vegan, vegetarian, non-vegetarian, hot, spicy, or wow.
Blimey.
So that's Paul Babra, and you know his details are on the Business Bunker website already. It's paulbabra@gmail.com if you're going to email him. But that's St Peter's Place, Canterbury Umbrella Centre. So well done, Paul.
Cool. We're dashing through loads of things because we've got so many things to cover and only 15-20 minutes left of the show. So thanks for that. We've had a tweet from Shackleton the Penguin.
Hello, Shackleton.
Hot ice cream. Cool idea.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. Quite right, Shackleton. You'd enjoy that. I've got a couple of important emails to read out. And then what we're going to do is we're going to play some of the recorded interviews from last week's Business to Business event at the Ashford International Hotel. And then we're going to talk a little bit more to David Barton.
Yes.
Yep. So a quick couple of things is the Hoodner's Horse Tweet Lunch. Unusually, it's on a Saturday, the next one.
Yeah.
Saturday the 21st of July.
Just this one is Saturday.
Yeah. It's the Hoodner's Horse pub, which is at Great Chart just outside Ashford. And they've decided to make it on a Saturday, and if the weather's okay, there'll be a barbecue and all kinds of things. It's real ale, Mexican food, great conversation, and you can go on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website. There is a link so that you can go on and book your place on it.
He might have my organ by then. My Lowry organ he's interested in.
They might give
you a tune on it, a little bit of a bossa nova or a cha-cha.
Thank you for that. And also, I've got a request here. Hi, Jules and Paul. What?
Who is this person?
What?
Let's give her a ginger.
What?
Yeah,
hi, Jules
right.
and Paul. If you can give women in business a shout out, that'll be why.
Ah.
A bit of sexism there. If you give women in business a shout out for the 18th of July, there's a women in business event at, where is it? I can't see where it is.
Anyway,
it's, it's 15 quid, and to book, you can do the website, which is www.ekentwib, W-I-B, org.uk and find out where it all is. And one of the speakers there is Angela Bryce Stevenson of Another Journey Begins.
Ah, lovely Angela.
And she's going to be talking about identifying what social media and networking habits you've learnt, and how to find the right balance for you and your business and to live consciously. So do find out about that. That's ekentwib, all one word, .org.uk. We'll put a link on there. Oh, it's on the 18th of July. That's the East Kent Women in Business event.
All details will be on the Bunker website after the show.
Now then, we're going to try this, and I don't know if it's going to work. Because we spent ages trying to get this to work before we came live on air. So this could work or it could not. We'll soon find out. But we've got a compilation of some of the interviews we took at the Kent and Medway Business Show last week. So do have a listen to this. You're listening to KentBusinessRadio.co.uk, the Business Bunker Show, on Tuesday the 3rd of July, and we're broadcasting from the Kent and Medway Business to Business Show at the Ashford International Hotel.
I am at the Kent B2B 2012 at the Kent Business Radio Stand 97 with Jules. How are you, Jules?
Hello. Well, I'm a bit upset because Paul Andrews has gone off to facilitate for Richard Farley and left me on my own with just a cup of water. There's no sandwiches, no biscuits.
There are cupcakes next door, though, Jules.
Yes.
But we can't keep eating those.
No, we can't. We'll get a bad name, won't we? Got lots and lots of business cards here coming up. I've met some lovely gentlemen. I met a lovely Mauro from... he was from a company called 4014. So, buongiorno, Mauro.
Hello.
Quite right, B2B business exhibition. And who are you?
My name's David Balding. I'm the managing director of Southern IT.
And where are you based, David?
Bittenden, not far from Acton.
Lovely foodie.
Lovely, yes.
Bittenden cider.
Yes, Bittenden cider.
And what does your company do?
We're software developers specialising in software as a service applications, which means that the company's data is all hosted centrally on an online database, so multi-offices can all access the same data very cheaply, well, for free really. And we've done that for insurance companies. We also do it for civil engineers, geotechnical industry, and a host of other types of different business.
And how many people do you employ in Bittenden?
Just two of us.
And who might the other person be?
Dominic Brown's my business partner.
He won't forgive you if you don't mention him on Business Bunker Radio.
Oh. yes, well, we've been in business for over 14 years. We sell to 18 different countries in the world, and we punch above our weight, really, for a two-man company.
And what do you think of today's exhibition? Have you met any useful contacts?
I've met a couple of people who really do seem quite promising as a prospect. What we sell is normally for more of a medium-sized business rather than a one-man band that we service, although we do service one-man bands. But normally our target market is for slightly larger companies, because software development can be expensive.
David, thank you very much for this interview, and can you just give us a shout for your website, please?
It's www.southern-it.com.
Thank you very much. I look forward to hearing from you again on the Business Bunker. Perhaps your phone... Hello, I'm at the B2B exhibition with Michael Dory. And Michael, how are you finding the exhibition?
It's going really well so far. Seen Richard Farley do his speech, and that's really informative. Got some good business tips from him, and hopefully that will hold me in good stead in the future with my business.
And you're from Portal Tax Claims.
Yes, that's right. We're a capital allowance specialist. What we specialise in doing is claiming capital allowances on commercial buildings. We can normally identify roughly about a quarter of the purchase price in allowances, and then the commercial property owner can then use those allowances to reduce their tax liability going forward. And in some cases, if the property has been owned for more than 2 years, we can look at getting a tax rebate for them, so they would have money sort of back from HMRC in the form of a refund.
Have you had a word with Jimmy Carr about this?
No, I haven't as of yet. He's a top guy. I really enjoy his performances. So, yeah.
Are you going to comment on what he did with his tax?
No comment.
Very wise man. And you're based in Rochester?
Yes, that's correct. We're based in Rochester on the industrial estate. The company, it's quite a large company, there's 120 employees. We've got many different other sort of sub-companies within the group. For Porter's Tax Loans, we have roughly 140 agents based all over the country spreading the word about what we do and how we can save people tax.
And how many people are in Portal Tax Claims? How many people do you employ?
As I said, there's roughly 140 active agents nationwide. We've got our head office. I think there's probably maybe about 50 employees at our head office that are on the sort of technical reporting team that write all our reports for us once the surveyor's been out to a commercial property and gathered all the relevant information from that.
And give us a shout for the Business Bunker listeners for your website, Michael.
Yeah, it's www.portaltaxclaims.com.
We look forward to hearing more from you on the Business Bunker. Thank you.
Cheers, thank you.
Hello, and I've got Ian McMillan here from Hershey, UK, and he says he's based in Snodland. So, hello, Ian. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a director of the company. We provide cloud-based document management solutions for small companies, which are very affordable because it means that small companies don't have to make a capital outlay for their service. They can pay for it on a monthly basis.
And how many people do you employ, Ian?
We're only a small company. We employ about 5 people, but we offer a complete service through our company, yes.
And how are you finding the B2B exhibition today? Are you meeting lots of interesting people?
I have met some very interesting people. I listened to
Richard Farley.
Farley, yeah, this morning, which was quite interesting.
With Paul Andrews, our lovely Paul Andrews, who was facilitating that.
Yes, that's right.
Was he good?
He was very good.
Efficient?
Very efficient, and kept everybody under control.
Did he? That's a first. Well, we hope to hear from you very soon, and we're on Stand 97 at B2B Breakfast Business Exhibition. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker.
Oh, hello. Welcome back. So that was a bit of some interviews from the Kent and Medway Business Show last week. We've got loads more of those. We're going to be playing a few of them over the next coming weeks.
Nice to hear that everyone came up to the stand, though. Yeah,
we were inundated, weren't we? It was
absolutely... tweet them individually and tell them that they're on the show.
Well, I've been trying to do that, but an awful lot of them don't have Twitter addresses or anything, and I've been searching and searching and searching. I found one. I found Hershey UK, who you just interviewed and they followed us on Twitter and are listening today because I had a tweet earlier. But the other guys, Southern IT and Tax Portal...
404 team have, because I'm following them, so yeah, I'll try and find out.
But as I do more of those and get them set up, we'll try and find them and track them down and let them know they're on.
You know what? You've got so much material there, we needn't bother coming in for next time.
I know. I might be able to get a holiday. But anyway, I want to come back to David Barton and talk to him a little bit more, because we've got a bit of time. I've got a zillion emails left to read as well. I want to talk to David because I'm being a concerned parent now as well. Because a certain person not a million miles away from me turns 17 next week. And he's going to be agitating to learn to drive. And I just wanted to ask you what your views are, because you see a lot of this on youth driving. And one of the things that I came across a while back in the United States, they have I don't know what the official term is, but it's like a graduated driving license.
That's exactly what it is.
Yep. Hold on, let me turn you up a bit. Sorry, David.
Yep, graduated driving licenses.
Right.
So that you acquire the ability to drive on certain road types.
Right.
As the years go by.
Okay, so you kind of progress upwards until they unleash you on the full
thing. Here, pass your test, you can drive anywhere.
Yeah.
Even in France, you can't do that.
Right, okay.
If you're to drive on a motorway in France, you have to be over 18.
Right, okay.
So if you take a co-driver with you, and he's under 18, although a full licence holder, he can't drive on a motorway. Mm. People don't know that.
Okay, no, that's interesting.
But in America, it's been said there that it's contributed towards a significant saving.
Right, okay.
And it's, I think I'm right in saying not every state has it, but a majority of states have that. where from you obtain a series of licenses, so incrementally you're able to drive on all roads in all states.
Absolutely. I mean, over here you see these green plates with a P on it.
Just passed.
Indicate you just passed, but that's not a mandatory thing, is it?
No, it isn't.
You must make Stuart one of those, though.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to make him
that,
too.
Just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
One on each end.
Yeah.
Well, I've often wondered what it's supposed to mean.
He did say to me yesterday, so once I've got my provisional licence, are you arranging insurance for the port? Good joke, Stuart. Yeah, of course I am.
Why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd keep pressing for that one.
Yeah. Cool. So, I mean, I want to come back, David, to, you know, lots of people get caught in speed cameras and things like that.
Yes.
I mean, where are we in terms of what's happening with things like that?
In fact, where are we?
No, but what I'm getting at, I guess,
one of life's big questions.
Again, you kind of made reference to it a bit earlier that says, you know, if you're speeding, you're speeding. You know, if they've got a picture of you doing that, there's not really a lot you can say about that. So if someone wants to argue about it, what are the kind of things that they normally cite as mitigation that are of any use to them, if you see what I mean?
Oh, if it's a defence, I wasn't speeding, then there's an issue over whether the camera was technically defective. That's very difficult indeed. If it's being measured by a handheld device, police officer, was it defective in some way? Was it pointed at the right vehicle? And people can and do run sometimes very expensive defences that ultimately don't achieve a great deal. But there can on occasions be circumstances where the device wasn't properly calibrated or tested. Or there's a serious issue over whether it was indeed pointed at the correct vehicle.
Sure.
It does happen.
Yeah.
What made you go into this fine side of helping people with just the driving offences?
Well, apart from an overwhelming desire to help people generally, it's something I started doing when I first qualified. The day I qualified as a solicitor in December 1982, my first job by the firm that then employed me, they asked me to go and represent someone in court on a no insurance case. And it's something over the years I've simply built up.
And now you specialise.
A body of knowledge and experience. And I quite like the work.
Right. Okay.
So it suits me. I enjoy the different courts I go to. I enjoy most of the different clients I meet. Not all of them.
Right, sure.
Any high profile ones that we're allowed to talk about? Or not?
Oh, some high profile ones that I can't talk about.
You can't talk about.
Yeah.
But speeding ones, they tend, there is a significant myth amongst the public that there is going to be a way out of this somehow if I can find the right technical approach. And more often than not, that's just not so.
Yeah.
And some people are willing to spend significant sums to find that out. What I try to do with people is to simply encourage them to be realistic.
Yeah. I was going to say that there is this, you know, when you advertise as a motorist lawyer, the immediate instinct is, right, he's going to get me off.
Yeah.
He's going to have some clever... there was that famous guy from Cheshire or whatever that got into Mr. Loophole, whatever they called him.
Yes, he's trademarked that name.
Yeah.
But it perpetuates the myth that there is a way out of most circumstances, and that's not so.
Yeah.
What I say on my own website, what I don't do is raise people's expectations. I try and be realistic. If there's a legitimate defence to be run, that's fine.
I'm actually looking for a sticker to go on the back of my car, and this is serious because I've had two speeding offences, and I want to say, back off, because I've had my points, I will stick to the speed limit, something like that.
Well, interestingly, the Department for Transport is currently consulting on whether to increase fixed penalties from £60 to £90, and the likelihood is that the fees will go up. But in addition, they're proposing to make driving without due care and attention an offence to be dealt with by fixed penalty.
Right.
And tailgating is an example of a type of driving that the department wants to target.
Yeah. The trouble with things like that is it's not easily spottable. Yeah, with because there's so many speed cameras and things like that now, you can catch a lot of speed speeding offences.
Yes.
But you can't, there's not a camera, as far as I know, that can...
No, there isn't.
Do you for the tailgating?
Same, yeah. No, tailgating, middle laning on the motorway.
Yeah.
That's another one that's been... Yeah. It's on the department's website. Telephone usage is likely to go up.
Yeah, absolutely.
I watched a white van man the other day, and he was on his mobile phone, and he was reversing while he was talking with it to his ear, went up on the curb and missed this woman by a whisker who was in a wheelchair, literally missed her by that, you know, whisker.
Blimey.
And I just was so furious. I wanted to take his number down. So should I have done? What should I have done?
Oh, you could have... You could have made a report. Whether it would have achieved anything is so difficult to know.
Sure.
You'd have got drawn into into the case, probably.
Mm.
Absolutely.
But there are a lot of myths proliferated on the internet about this type of work.
Mm. So in the last minute or so that we've got on the show, David, I want to ask you about the kind of things that can be of help. I'm trying to think of the right way of putting this without sounding terrible. What should we look for in terms of the authorities following the correct procedure when they do bring these kind of things? Let's put it that way.
There's such a range of offences, it's difficult to generalise. Stopped at the roadside, suspicion of drink driving, then there's got to be a roadside breath test. There doesn't have to be a reason to stop.
Right.
They can be spot checked. And then it's just following the correct procedure at the station. For a range of other offences, there's got to be a verbal warning given at the time or a written one within 14 days, a summons then within 6 months. So there are some time limits that do apply.
Okay.
Because
sometimes you hear cases of, you know, just simple things like speeding tickets or whatever, where the authorities didn't send it in time.
Indeed.
Yeah.
If a car's photographed doing more than the speed limit... A request for driver details and a notice of intended prosecution must go out within 14 days.
Mm.
And if it's late, whilst you still have to provide the information who was driving, a summons can't be issued. It's out of time. So there are some things that are worth looking out for.
So do you get called out, David, day and night to these things?
Oh, no.
So you don't go out in an emergency at, you know, in the middle of the night to
stick
haven't. With them?
No, I haven't had that yet.
Cool.
Good.
Who knows? One of the things I am doing... is to, on the issue of myths, is I'm in the autumn embarking on a series of presentations to 17 and 18 year olds at schools.
Right, okay, good.
Throughout some of the county, in the hope that it will bust some of the myths and give a different perspective to young drivers.
That's a good idea.
That they will otherwise get. So I've got a series starting in October.
That's brilliant. You know, as the parent of someone that's going to be in that, I'm wholeheartedly behind that, and if you need any help with that, I will gladly help.
I have three children as well, and I've been through the same process.
Yeah, cool. I mean, my eldest son, who's now 27, shortly after he passed his test, he had a really bad accident, which luckily wasn't his fault, but and he wasn't going that fast. He was only doing 30 mile an hour, but it wrote the car off, and it was really frightening, you know. Cool. David, for the moment, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker. As always, it's been a pleasure to have you on. Give us a shout for your website.
It's motorists-lawyer-kent.co.uk.
Brilliant. And we've got a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website. So if you want to follow up with any of this, or you need help, or you're thinking of driving fast this afternoon...
Or you're going to France.
Yeah, or going to France, yeah. Motorists-lawyer-kent.co.uk is the place to look. David, thank you so much for joining us. Absolute pleasure to have you on the show again. Thank you.
Pleased to have been here.
Great, thank you very much. Couple of things. I've got a last minute email here from Leanne Bayliss of Invicta Chamber of Commerce, who says, I just want to let you know about the Chamber of Commerce lunch at the Best Western Russell Hotel, that's in Maidstone, on Wednesday the 11th, that's tomorrow, 12 to 2pm. The cost is £20 for Chamber members and £25 for non-members. Please come and join me and Colin Davis, the Invicta Chamber Membership Manager, for lunch for a great networking event. That's Best Business Events at the Great Western Russell Hotel in Maidstone tomorrow.
Thursday 12th of July, Hazlitt Theatre, open air Shakespeare performance, As You Like It, Upnor Castle, Medway, 7pm. That's this Thursday, 12th of July.
Cool.
And that's sponsored by jobsinkent.com.
Brilliant. Yes, it is indeed. Couple more things. We've got a speed networking breakfast at the historic Stockyard Chatham, which again is tomorrow, Wednesday the 11th of July, but that's in the morning. It's from 7:30 to 9:30. So there you go. You could go on a networking
binge.
Yeah, walkabout, couldn't you? You could start off in the Dockyard. That finishes in time for you to get over to Maidstone for lunch. But speed networking breakfast, the historic Dockyard Chatham, tomorrow 7:30 till 9:30, and that is from June Collins, who's the hospitality sales officer at the historic Dockyard Chatham. So speed networking tomorrow morning.
Cool. Also, July 14th, leedscastle.com, there's the open air classical concert. July 14th.
That's brilliant. And I've also got the Army Wives Choir there as well, haven't they?
Apparently. They've got soprano Claire Rutter as well. So details will be on the bunker because we're whisking through these. So we'll put details after the show.
Out of time now. But there's also the Leeds Castle website, which I think off the top of my head is
leeds-castle.com.
Brilliant. Okay. And that's it. We've reached the end of the show. Once again, so thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure to be with you on Tuesday, the 10th of July. You've been listening to me, Paul Andrews, my co-presenter, Jules Serkin, our studio guest, Mr. David Barton, the motorist lawyer, and on the phone we heard from Katie Jackson of
homestaging.sos.co.uk.
Yes. We'll do that again. homestaging.sos.co.uk.
Katie Jackson.
We also heard from a young man, Seb Cole, who's invented hot ice cream and won the Marketing Eye Young Business Minds Award this year.
And our winner was Nicola Burr from Canterbury Christchurch Uni.
Absolutely. So that's it, everyone. Thank you very much for that. And I've got a bit of David Bowie to play out with in a minute, but we'll see you all again next week.
Have a great week.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker. Thank you.